Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, September 7th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Akinio. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today's topic, M-commerce phones home. My first guest today is senior analyst Sky Canavis. Hey, Sky.
Hey, Sarah. Great to be here.
Thanks for being here. Also joining us today is principal analyst Yori Wormser. Welcome back, Yori.
Hey, thanks, Sarah.
All right, we're going to get started with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's headline is a September 1st story from Modern Retail titled, Grocery Stores Are Using Grab and Go Food to Inch Into Restaurant Territory. Maria Monteros reports that the next hot takeout spot could be the local grocery store's grab-and-go section. The writer goes on to talk about how grocery stores are working to compete with meal delivery companies and takeout spots. There's an interesting point in this article about cash-strapped consumers leveling down from restaurants and looking instead to grocery stores for their meal purchases. So, Sky, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is...
This makes me very happy. I think supermarkets offering more options is really very convenient and can help consumers to save money as well versus takeout, which we all know restaurant prices are going up. And this supermarkets have really taken the opportunity, I think, since the start of the pandemic to become more responsive to consumers in so many different ways. And this is really a big takeaway from the pandemic experience of giving consumers more options across channels and making things more personalized. I know at my local supermarket, there's now a range of options. You know, in addition to traditional grocery, you can get a meal kit, you can get a dish that needs to be cooked but is already prepared, or a dish that only needs to be heated up. And now they've rolled out more hot food options where it really will save a lot of time. And kind of the last thing I want to do when I'm shopping for groceries, unfortunately, is then go home and cook a meal or have to order takeout from somewhere else and make another stop. So this is really, I think, a big opportunity for supermarkets.
Great. Sky hitting the review right at 60 seconds. Yori, your review of this headline on Grab and Go in 60 seconds is?
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything that Sky said. Just to add to that, she mentioned just consumers are cash conscious these days. That's really true. And just I think it's a big opportunity for grocers to go out there and offer these basically equivalent type meals that you might get at a fast, quick service restaurant for less money. So I think that it's a great idea in that regard. I think also grocery e-commerce is growing super fast. There are, you know, various integrations with delivery companies. We have the click and collect e-commerce sales growing at more than 20% this year. So tons of e-commerce and m-commerce activity going on with grocery for really the first time. I mean, since the pandemic, it's really taken off. And I think this is just another opportunity for them to extend that and to cut into some competition from restaurants.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also think there's like a fun aspect of grab and go at grocery stores that makes me want to go to the grocery store, especially the one with the good grab and go section. My roommate and I have this sort of theory or incentive where if we get ourselves out of the apartment and go grocery shopping, we get to reward ourselves by getting a grab and go dinner for that day. I think that expanding that section is a great idea, and I'm definitely inclined to go to the grocery store near me that has the best selection in grab and go for that reward. All right, now it's time for our next segment. Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is mobile commerce. So mobile commerce, or m-commerce, retail share will hit about 6% of all U.S. retail sales this year for a total of $415 billion. Share will grow about 0.2 percentage points, which is good, but significantly smaller than the 1.7 percentage point growth we saw between 2019 and 2020. Yori, these stats all come from your m-commerce report. Can you expand a bit on the state of the category?
Yeah, and just a hat tip to our forecasting team who comes up with these numbers. They so these numbers are significant in just to show m-commerce continues to expand a lot. Now, if you look at the percentage terms and the share of total retail, it's not super impressive this year, a little under 10% growth in m-commerce. But we're still talking, you know, $35 billion of extra m-commerce this year and, you know, each addition, you know, $55 billion next year. So just huge amounts of additional money coming through m-commerce each year. Going forward, even if the growth rate isn't what it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, certainly during the pandemic, but even pre-pandemic, still lots and lots of new sales coming through phones.
Sure. Yeah. And so we see m-commerce penetration growth being pretty flat over the past 2 years, but our numbers do have it picking up over the next few years. M-commerce penetration will hit 8.6% of U.S. retail sales in 2026, and that's up from 6% this year. That's a total of $688 billion m-commerce dollars. Why did growth slow, and why is it going to pick back up?
So it slowed in terms of a share of total retail for a couple of reasons. First of all, traditional retail bounced back after no one was going to stores during the pandemic. Or few people were going. So there was kind of an unnatural bounce back of traditional retail and total retail. So that's kind of explains part of the plateau. And then this year, inflation also is having an effect in that traditional retail includes things like gas stations and grocery stores. So, and food and energy prices really have skyrocketed. So, you know, we count we do our forecast in nominal terms, which means in today's dollars. So gas prices going way up is just, you know, going to look like traditional retail is skyrocketing, whereas a lot of m-commerce sales are more discretionary, things like apparel, things that you can cut back on if you're being cost conscious.
Yeah, that makes sense. In last week's episode, we talked about like how the denominator of these stats makes a big difference. That denominator growing with gas prices makes a huge difference in what that penetration looks like. Skye, do you have anything to add to this before we jump into talking about more specifics?
I think as people are going back into stores and spending more time shopping in stores, there's still an important role for the mobile device, particularly the phone, in terms of connecting the digital and physical shopping experiences, where we see consumers using their phones for all sorts of things, like researching products, finding out where products are available near me. I think Google has noted really high demand for like product searches where it's near me, where people might just want to look for where they can find products when they're going out shopping, because people are going out shopping a lot more now.
Yeah, that's a great point. I checked my bookstore online to see if they had a book I was looking for and then bought it in person. That's not going to be considered m-commerce, but definitely had the mobile aspect. So I want to talk more about how people shop on mobile, be that directly within retail apps, within social apps, or in browsers. Skye, can you tell me a bit about which behaviors are popular right now and how m-commerce behaviors might be changing?
Sure. Well, we had a consumer survey earlier this year looking at what are the most in-demand retail mobile app features among consumers. And most of the top five were more about mobile shopping activity, not just buying. So they were mainly connecting the in-store and digital shopping experience. So the most in-demand feature was notifications when an order is ready for pickup. And a lot of features connected to digital wallets, like being able to redeem loyalty points in stores. As I mentioned, checking availability in stores location, putting a gift card into one's digital wallet and being able to redeem coupons in a store that you have digitally.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about how people purchase on phones, because I never make purchases on my phone, or at least I don't that often. What I might do is see something in an Instagram ad, Google it in a browser, and then end up purchasing it on my computer in a browser. Is this typical? Where do people make their purchases in their phones?
It depends. First of all, it depends on the person. Some people use their apps. Some people shift over to the browser. I would say most purchases are probably still in browsers for most retailers. There are exceptions. Amazon and places like that probably have in-app as a majority. But yeah, I'd say mobile websites probably are, for at least for most retailers, is where most of the transactions happen. Or as you said, you know, people go to their desktops or go to the store as well.
And I think a lot of the trends are shifting among age groups and particular product categories as well. So we had an apparel retail benchmark that we published earlier this year. And among consumers, we saw that for mobile commerce among like Gen Z and millennials, the using the app was very close to using browsers when it came to making apparel purchases. For Gen X and baby boomers, it was a lot more weighted in favor of the browsers or even personal computers on desktop. So I think we're seeing generational shifts, whereas younger consumers, they're starting to develop their shopping behaviors. So to them, their phones are just an extension of everything that they do, and they're more likely to do shopping on their phones and purchasing on their phones.
Yeah, I said before on the podcast, but my phone is an extension of my right hand. How are Amazon and Walmart's apps making a dent in how people shop for things?
They're hugely important because they're the two most used shopping apps in the country. A lot of other apps have a lot of buzz, but when you look at the numbers, of the top 25 apps in the country, only two of them are retailers or shopping apps, and they're Amazon and Walmart. Amazon, I think, is number 6 and Walmart's number 21. So for the average American, average U.S. consumer, they're shaping the way how people shop online and shop with their phones. So hugely important for shaping consumer behavior.
Okay, before we go to break, I want to ask both of you which key metric you think we should be watching to track m-commerce looking forward. Yori, I'll go to you first. Which key metric should I be looking at?
I mean, just from an overall perspective, I think you know, the percentage of mobile shoppers who have become mobile buyers, that's steadily increasing. So from an, you know, kind of a macro sense, I look at that and overall e-commerce sales, obviously, and then average conversion rates as well.
I want to make sure that I'm clear on that. So mobile shoppers becoming mobile buyers, those are people like me who are browsing on their phones, becoming people who are actually purchasing on their phones.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not just conversion rates for each shopping experience, but conversion, you know, shoppers over a year who are willing to buy on with their phones as well. That's how we define mobile buyers.
Gotcha. So people who are doing the shopping, adding to the cart, and also making the purchase.
Exactly.
You're watching all three. Sky, which key metric are you tracking?
I think adoption of digital wallets is really key for mobile commerce. In our retail mobile app benchmark, the ability to complete an in-app purchase using a digital wallet from a third party like Apple Pay was number 10 in the rankings of our overall features. And only over half of the retailers we looked at offered this feature. So there's still a lot of room for them to add it. And I know for me, when I see Apple Pay, it just makes me so happy. I love clicking twice and just using my face to pay for things when I'm doing mobile shopping compared to having to enter my credit card information and billing information. That's a big friction point. And that's something where I might not want to make a mobile purchase if I have to enter all that information and am likely to make typos versus pressing two buttons and being done.
Yeah, I love it too.
Especially if I have to get like my credit card out while I'm sitting on the subway, I'm never going to do that. This to me is a reason why the Starbucks app is so ahead of the game, because like people have been making purchases from in the app for so long.
Yeah, it makes paying really easy. Like one app I really struggle with to use in the store to make payments with is Target. Like I just can't figure out how to use my Target wallet and pay for things between the coupons and offers and everything. I always get a kind of deer in the headlights feeling when I'm at the cashier.
Okay, I want to talk more about apps. We've already talked through m-commerce growth and metrics. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor. Great customer experiences start with great product experiences. With Akinio, you can give customers both. By putting all your product information in one place, creating engaging stories, and ensuring that those stories are consistent across every touch point, Akinio makes it possible. So you can get to market faster, turn browsers into buyers, and drive revenue at every step of the buyer journey. Learn more at akinio.com. That's A-K-E-N-E-O.com. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. This week, Sky and Yori are each giving me their top two mobile shopping apps that will shape the future of m-commerce. Yori, you go first. Tell me one of your top two mobile shopping apps shaping the future of m-commerce.
Well, we already discussed it. You can't talk about m-commerce without talking about Amazon and Walmart. Both of them, I'm going to have them as co-number one just because their scale is so big. So I see what they're doing, not just in terms of m-commerce, but integrating m-commerce with the physical store. Walmart obviously doing it with its stores, but also Amazon with Whole Foods and with Amazon Fresh, sort of linking that together, I think is really important to shape and to inform consumers about what they can do online. And when I say consumers, I mean like the average consumer in the country, not an early adopter.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I realized that the reason that I downloaded the Amazon app in the first place was probably so that I could use it at checkout in Whole Foods.
Yeah, exactly.
So that makes a lot of sense. That's also the most recent place I've made an m-commerce purchase. All right, Sky, give me one of your top two mobile apps shaping the future of m-commerce.
Sure. Well, nowadays, if we talk about mobile commerce, we're also talking about the social commerce trend. And we can't talk about social commerce without talking about TikTok, which has been having such a big impact just because of its rapid adoption and how it's really spurring competition across all other platforms, from like YouTube and Instagram to Snap and Pinterest. They're all kind of chasing the video first model that's been so successful with TikTok. And TikTok in particular, it has a successful roadmap from China, where its parent company ByteDance operates the Chinese version of TikTok, Douyin, which has a lot of commerce features and has really pushed into live streaming. I know TikTok has met with some hurdles in its live streaming experiment in the UK recently, and there are questions of whether that's going to launch in the US. But it's really driving mobile commerce quite broadly. Our forecast has the number of TikTok users who are social buyers jumping to 40% of users by 2026,
Wow. Even though
TikTok usage is increasing. And it's also interestingly just driving mobile commerce across platforms. This week, or very recently, we've heard news about Pinterest's hot new app, Shuffles, which TikTok users are using to create collages that they post to TikTok, but then drive traffic to Pinterest, where people can buy products from Pinterest shops or merchants. So that's a really interesting trend, how just TikTok and the TikTok made me buy it trend are fueling mobile commerce across the board.
I want to reemphasize just how striking that 40% of TikTok users becoming mobile buyers by 2026 figure is, because TikTok users have grown so fast and are going to continue to grow. People are continuing to adopt the app. And so the fact that they're continuing to also become mobile buyers on the app, we talk all the time about how other apps are copying TikTok, but other apps, I think, aren't adopting the mobile buying or mobile shopping experience as successfully as TikTok is, a lot because TikTok has that Douyin model to go off of. I think that the sky is the limit with TikTok. All right, let me stop talking. What is your other app that is shaping the future of m-commerce?
Well, I'm going to keep the social theme going, and I'm going to say Snapchat. And the reason is their AR features. They've been pushing the boundaries with AR for, you know, pretty much since they started with their lenses, filters. They continue to add features within the Snapchat app for AR shopping. I think that's they're going to continue to push AR forward, especially mobile AR. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see where they go with that. Now, just heard in the news that they're cutting back some of their staff around AR, so and in many different parts of the company. So that might slow down their innovation, but they've always been, I think, the most innovative social company when it comes to AR and a lot of other features in mobile shopping. So I'm really curious to see what they come up with over the next few years.
Yeah, definitely watching that 20% staff cut to see if it makes a difference in the product itself. Skye, take us home with your final app you see shaping the future of m-commerce.
Sure. So my next app pick is going to be Shein, which is ultra fast, ultra cheap fashion company from China. And it's had a really fast rise, though it's all e-commerce. There are no Shein stores. It's a pure e-commerce retailer and brand. And so over the past 2 years, and particularly last year, there have been months where it's topped Amazon as the most downloaded shopping app in the U.S. And I came across some really interesting data from Sensor Tower from the first quarter of this year, which reported that Shein was second only to Amazon in terms of daily active users. And it had a 14% share of shoppers on the top 10 shopping apps. Amazon had 59%. But what was striking was that Amazon's share was down from like 75% a year ago, and Shein's had jumped from just 6% up to 14%. So it's risen really quickly, and that's, I think, highlighted the willingness of Gen Z consumers in the U.S. to adopt single brand apps for shopping when they have a compelling reason to do so. With Shein's app, you're browsing this huge catalog where there are hundreds or even thousands of new products every day. And there are deals and discounts and promotions and coupons that just keep shoppers, these young, very cash conscious shoppers, coming back on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm really of two minds on this, because I am not a fan of fast fashion from a sustainability perspective, or even from like a trend perspective. But it is really impressive what Shein has done. And I am curious about how that's going to change behaviors of younger mobile users across other apps.
Right. I think we see more willingness on younger users to engage with single brand apps, particularly when these apps can foster a sense of community, and that helps to build loyalty. And interestingly, now with the inflation and recession concerns and consumers really prioritizing value, they might be looking more to apps to from a retailer or brand where they can get value, where they can get discounts through the app. So the trade-off of downloading the app becomes worth it because they're getting something tangible out of it.
Sure. And there's probably an aspect of gamification too, right? Like finding the best deals within the app that you're looking at.
Yes. For sure.
All right. Well, that is all we have time for today. So thanks for talking to me, Skye.
Thanks, Sarah.
And thank you, Yori.
Thanks, Sarah.
Subscribers can check out Yori's recent m-commerce report and the retail mobile app benchmark report that Skye mentioned at insiderintelligence.com. We also have some news. We are on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. That is behindthenumbers_podcast. Stu has already asked me to send him pictures of me podcasting, and I don't have any good pictures of that. So get ready, followers. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today, and to Jin, who's editing this episode this week while we finally allow Victoria to take a week off. We will be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Akinio. And you can tune in tomorrow as Marcus brings you another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast.